Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. My guest today is old friend Eve Lorgan. It's a lot of stuff you want to delve into today, a lot of topical issues, things that we've been ruminating on for some time. So without any further ado, Evie, welcome back to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Always a pleasure, James. And we could always talk freely about things. And some recent people send me things all the time about like reports of what's going on with some of the newer medical and scientific findings. And there was a recent report out that had a compilation. And within that compilation, several researchers were mentioned about the the hydrogels, the self-assembling nanotechnology, the fluorescence, and Morgellons fibers, and also Harold Caltabella had come up in one. So when I saw that video, I thought, oh, I remember there was one that somebody sent about a recent excerpt taken from Dr. Roger Lear about the implant studies years ago, which I actually attended and interviewed five people with before and after effects. And I still have that article from probably 20 years ago now, where I actually reviewed some of the before and after effects, and also the articles that I had done early on with Daryl Sims and Roger Lear was the fluorescence findings of different body sites from post-abduction viewed with a UV light. And so seeing, oh, there was some similarities what I saw, what was re being reported with the more recent findings with the fluorescence being seen on the faces of people who've had the stabs and the incorporation of certain materials that might be, I don't know, biogenerating naturally in the body, creating fluorescence basically on the face, the forehead, the nose, and they're calling it the eye of Orus, where even some of the eyes are emitting fluorescence, only with a UV light. But there were some interesting correlations that I don't think most people don't remember those studies. They're just looking at some of the newer findings, which I believe the self-assembling nanotechnology, the graphene, the carbon nanotubules is really something that has been done and worked on with abductees in my labs as test experimental people years ago. And so now we're seeing this in mass and really wondering what is this about? What is it doing? What does it mean? And what can we do about it? So I just kind of went into a deep dive, and I haven't been able to do the article yet because I'm so busy. But I wanted to at least run some things by you with what you remembered in the past that actually Ted Rice had brought up in an interview on his Alien Talk show, as well as what was in Masquerade of Angels years ago that has to do with a fluorescent substance. But that one was a little bit unique and different from what is being seen on the blood samples, live blood samples of people who had stabs or not. That is fluorescing with certain shapes that are self-assembling, unnatural shapes, as well as fluorescent vesicles where they're like lipid, I don't know what to call it. If it might be fluorescent lipid shapes where inside of those fluorescent vesicles inside the blood, there's something else going on, like a self-assembling kind of nanotechnology thing going on inside. So when I saw
Just
that
for
and
a
I
second,
saw the,
can you tell me what a vesicle is?
oh, it's just a like a bubble. Let's say inside of a cell, you will have vesicles that might have certain organelles, So it's just something that contains something inside something else, really. But the lipid nanoparticles could be considered a type of vesicle, where it's a lipid particle that has those properties. So I don't know what direction I want to go to because I guess the first thing that I saw that triggered a memory from fluorescence studies was the image of a woman in a black light with the orange fluorescence on the forehead, the nose, and a little bit chin. So mostly the face. But years ago, there were fluorescent markings on abductees with certain, like a number, different colors and different types of markings. And I had done an article about that. But the ones that emitted the orange and the hot pink red region of the fluorescent spectrum with the UV light was with the hot pink, I believe it was, if someone had handled the alien human infant hybrids on their skin, their hands, their chin, their neck, that would show up like splotching, irregular splotching where those were handled. But there could have been other things like some kind of material that just kind of splashed on them. And then there was another case. It was a specific case of a woman that I had worked with, did private conversations with years ago, who kept having a fluorescence show up on her different parts of her body. I believe it was her breasts and arms, might have been neck, but also pubic region, where it was like an orange. And so she did a sample where they were some men actually tested it to find out what it was. And in that case, they claimed that it was something that was like a laser dye. And so then they said, oh, it was like Coumadin, which is actually a blood thinner, but they used it as a rat poison in the early days after World War II. So when you have a laser dye application for medical experimentation, you might want to use that for testing if something has been uptaken in the genetic expression, where you want to see if something's uptake that might have been put in recombinantly, for example. Like if you put a certain gene splice in a bacteria and you want to grow it up, let's say a gene sequence of a virus or whatever, and then they label it with a fluorescent marker, then if the bacteria grows it up and they put it out on a gel and then they see the marks, then they'll see, oh, if it uptook it, they'll see maybe the fluorescence. And if not, it won't be fluorescent. So in the laser dye application, it was more of a, and I don't know if this is what they did with this woman because I think she was a test subject actually, but it just kept showing orange, which if it was the laser dye, it might mean that something was uptaken and created a genetic change in her body where certain genetics in certain body systems, let's say in the pubic region or areas where it's showing up, might be something that's being uptaken that has a different genetic signature. So I don't know if that's it or not, but that was something that has was happened years, like 20 years ago. So, and this was an unusual case where she kept getting taken, and she was also in a neighborhood where they found out they were in a region where there was toxic dumping in the soil, and large companies wanted to keep it hidden. So I don't know if that had anything to do with some of these alien unusual fluorescence going on. But they're thinking it was luciferase. In one of the videos in the Reese report, they were thinking, I think, that the orange fluorescence might be an uptake of luciferase, which is a it's actually a bioluminescent enzyme that's naturally occurring in the firefly. Okay, so if it uptakes, luciferase is the enzyme, and if it uptakes, I believe, ATP, or if ATP with luciferin phosphate will be luciferase, and that was what glows. So in something that uses it bioluminescently, it could appear naturally and just keep producing itself with what we produce naturally in our bodies. So I think the inference was made in the video that, oh, well, maybe people with this fluorescence on their face and their eyes, they're uptaking luciferase and they're now producing it like fireflies or something. But I don't know because the fluorescence is actually orange in the, it's actually fluorescence is when you hit it with a UV light, which is like the purple UV re region. With fluorophores, I'm just going to be geeky out on you here now. With fluorophores, they're compounds that if you hit them with a certain spectrum of light, UV light, which is a specific range in nanometers, then it causes an excitation into a quantum state of that particular material to basically go in this quantum state, release energy, and then when it goes back to the emission state, you got excitation and emission state. And so the excitation is the UV light in the spectrum wavelength that it gets excited at, releases energy, and then it falls down to the physical state again in a different color. And so the emission wavelength would be the fluorescent color that it shows up when you hit a UV light on it. So that would be like the orange color that shows up after you hit it with the UV light. So I just wanted to distinguish the difference between naturally occurring bioluminescence, which wouldn't need a UV light, and then a fluorescent reaction or a chemiluminescent reaction. But either way, I think that these things are showing up in the blood, and that I believe that there's an energy transfer or some kind of metabolic process using energy, or it could be, just used as a marker. But I don't think they would do that. I don't think they would say, hey, let's do this to how many people in the population, and if it works, we'll just leave a marker like they do in medical studies. Well, they're not going to do that because they don't want us to know, right? So they're not going to leave an obvious marker. So whatever it is, it's happening for a reason, this fluorescence. So that was just something I wanted to note because there was this going on years ago with alien implant and fluorescent studies. So I'll just pause for a minute if you had like make a remark about any of that.
The parallel that I see, I think they've used the UV light as well on the points of the arm where people have gotten the stabs, and it clearly shows a fluorescence at the injection site. But also, for some people, the subdermal fluorescence seems to have expanded because using the UV light to scan other parts of the arm anatomy, you begin to see the fluorescence spreading, right? So clearly it wasn't either, it was meant to stay in one place, the injection mark, which I don't think that was the case. But what we're seeing is that at least in some cases, the fluorescence and whatever it represents is spreading to other regions of the body. So potentially, absolutely, you could wind up in the face and in the brain and wherever else. And the La Quinta team, credit to them, they've made the point that to them, this is some kind of an alien attack. And I would agree, everything we're seeing on the surface is a manifestation of an all-out attack on the human race. And you have these silly surface-level truthers, blue beam, blue beam. The invasion has been underway for centuries, if not millennia, by now. They just waited till the population got to a certain size. Okay, now it's time to cull this herd, right? And so everything we're seeing, the mass migrant invasion of all these entity-infested rapists coming in from every direction, that's not an accident. This nano warfare that's going on, that's not an accident. And then you look at what's being pumped into the minds of everyone, whether you have a TV or not. Just this hardcore Luciferian cultural Marxist propaganda, relentless. So I'm seeing it as a full spectrum attack. And the notion of the nanoparticles being an alien technology, when one looks at some of the blood work under a microscope, and you see clearly what seems to me tiny electronic components, square objects, just stuff, and the way that the blood cells and the iron and everything is changed around, the rewiring, the re-editing, if you will, is well underway. And I would remind the listeners and viewers of some of the Majestic papers, which you can find on the Majestic website, where it specifically mentions the interest that Majestic and its committees and subcommittees had about the microcircuitry, the alien microcircuitry that was found recovered at some of these crash sites, and how from the late 1940s on, MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, was tasked with understanding and developing and exploiting the microcircuitry. So we're talking since the late 1940s, MIT and probably other places, R&D centers and what have you, have been working with microcircuitry. Also in the Majestic Papers, it specifically mentions the pharmaceutical application to the what they described as alien retroviruses, the alien bodies being a fount, a wellspring, if you will, of all kinds of possibilities for the pharmaceutical industry, as well as the medical industry, industrial complex at large. So I find, at any rate, that there's a direct tie-in with what the people in Majestic and their committees had discovered, and at a very early point, what they had in mind to do with these discoveries. And it had everything to do with a population-wide en masse rollout of treatment, so-called, to essentially change people from the inside out. Now, there have already been significant changes down through the millennia, millions of years actually, of these alterations. I think John Leary used to talk about this in his discussions with Balthazar, that the Zeta Reticuleans, at least one species of them, civilization of them, had made up to, by that time, by the time Lazar got a hold of those reports, something like 38 or more genetic alterations and corrections of the human species. Whether we can regard them as upgrades or downgrades, whatever the case may be. I mean, if you look at it from a biblical perspective, and you look at the lengthy lifespans that a lot of the patriarchs of the old days had, right? And suddenly the telomeres are cut off, and we're living shorter, health malady plagued lives nowadays, right? So, and that also, the truncating of the lifespans will also facilitate the recycling process, also, when you think about it, right? Because even the most dim-witted person, if they live for 600 or 700 years, the coin would start to drop at some point that something is wrong, right? You know what I mean?
Something's wrong.
Something is wrong. So I'm really glad, and kudos to the La Quinta team pointing out that this is an alien act that's going on. And some of the other people that have studied the baneful effects of these treatments, so-called, and have even gone back and looked at all the patents and everything prior to the rollout. And this was 20, 30 plus years in the making, what happened the last few years. Even though some of them take a more, I would say, biblical perspective or a fundamentalist perspective, and think of it as like demonic technology or something, there's that ready-made schism between, people that know that there are real beings coming here from throughout the cosmos, and those who insist on labeling all aliens as being demons, which means they haven't even studied the origins and the etymological roots of the word demon and where it came from. Pierre Sabbat makes a convincing point that terms like demon and the Watchers and et cetera refer directly. Now, the Shining Ones, for example, they refer directly to not only alien beings, but to reptilian beings in particular, right? It's embedded in the language. So I'm kind of throwing out a wide net here, but what I'm seeing is a comprehensive effort now at ensnaring the whole human race, not just radically culling the numbers, but also hooking into, for lack of a better term, our consciousness, our souls, for some unspecified purpose. One can only hazard a guess. So kudos to the La Quinta team, and kudos to the point I was going to make about those with a more biblical perspective. Even they're saying that there's a non-human element behind this. They may coach it in kind of demonic terms or fundamentalist terms, but at least they've gotten to that point where this is not just humans doing this to other humans. This is something that's completely non-human in origin. And I track it back at least as far back as the Majestic 12 findings and what they wanted to do with this technology and biowarfare and utilizing the pharmaceutical industry from the very beginning, figured prominently in their white papers.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I know the implant studies that Dr. Roger Lear did and others who are working with him, though one of the things that they found in terms of what are these implants made of, and one of the first ones was something that was found in someone's toe, and it had so it was found on an X-ray, and it had iron But iron that was considered meteoric in origin that had many different components that's not natural to our world. So that was one thing that was unusual. And then another thing was it had a higher concentration of iridium. I guess it's an isotope, which is not natural for our world, which suggests that these were created from components not of this world, or certainly not made here. And the other thing was the carbon nanotubules that were found were known to have the radio frequency emission signature. But even Dr. Roger Lear thought that he also mentioned the thing about the orthorhombic structures, and they might be if you removed an implant or broke it, it would self-assemble back, which is a lot like the self-assembling stuff. And then the irregular orthorhombic and rectangular and irregular shapes, that's also similar to what was found in the implant studies. And so I told you that I went back to read some of the early interviews that I did with people before and after, because at least with the five people that I interviewed, one of them was the one with the implant in the toe that was the meteoric in origin, where that particular implant was covered, what do you call it, encased by a type of cocoon of biological material of two different types of dendrites or nervous system tissue. And then it actually fluoresced a little bit when you put a UV light on it, and that it was unusual because the body did not have the natural rejection response to the implant. And it was also connected to the nervous system, so that I think if it was removed, or they would feel pain. So in the implant studies, there was one that was like the meteoric one found on an X-ray in the toe, and another one was like a glass-like shard that was triangular. And that was Leisha Davidson, by the way, and two women who had a biological type that wasn't found on an X-ray, but it was on the lower, I think, lateral portion of the leg. And then another one was a guy, it was in the jaw. But the two that were found in the leg that were the biological type, both those women, when they after they had it removed, within 6 to 8 months, they both experienced a lot of pain and redness and swelling at the excision site where the implant was. But within a month of that surgery, at least one woman, I think both of them had, they felt better, a sense of peace. She didn't feel as depressed. And then she went through this, actually was discomfort where a certain health condition returned, a strong diuretic effect, like some kind of detoxification was going on in her body. But then after that process, she had like a amnesiac abduction memory come up where she was able to process it, as well as I think, a precognitive thing where it came true. So, and the other woman, it was like a precognitive event or perception came up where it happened. So both of them had the same thing with the it turned red and shooting pains down the leg within 6 to 8 months after it was removed. So, but I think they came and put one back in, I think, in both of them. But what was significant was several of the people who, after their implant surgeries, they felt either a sense of peace, relief, or they felt clearer and less depressed and had more memories come back. So that makes me think that at least in some of the applications, I mean, they would want to stifle our awareness of what they're trying to do, which is to remember what happened and to connect with, I think, our eternal spirit, which is going to tell us the truth if that's what we want to align with. And so that's the implants help dampen that will of the eternal spirit and our awareness. So that is significant. And that's what Dr. Corrado Malanga did hypothesize, that they're causing a trauma and a lot of the, let's say, the malevolent ones who want to loose feed us and use us as a battery to live through us, kind of thing, that they will dampen the will of the spirit by creating a incoherence in connection between the mind, spirit, soul, as he called it, in the body. So in his terms, anima was the term for soul, which is really like the eternal spirit aspect of our being, which exists in the eternal now, that has the power of willpower and intention connected with awareness to actually carry out a powerful shift in our reality. But it's not always under our will, but it can be connected with where when we make an agreement with our eternal spirit to connect with the spirit of truth, to like not be used as batteries, then oftentimes the spirit will be on board to do something. We'll just, blast the aliens with like fire, with light, just blocking their access. And so that experience would be a progressive healing and reintegration of any kind of traumas, where then the coherence can take place with integration. But my concerns has always been what we've observed in the for a long time. It's a kind of Stockholm syndrome or the Muppet thing, where there's this compulsion to exonerate the benevolence of these beings and how they healed me. They're so wonderful. What star family am I from? But they're channeling, say I'm an ambassador and this is gonna blah blah blah. But really, what that is, it's a type of fawn response, which is a complex trauma thing that happens. If we have a lot of trauma and it's one of our survival mechanisms, well, I think they could choose, well, let's say this person's good for a fawn response. Let's just tweak it a little bit. And we're going to have Stockholm syndrome. And maybe in another one, they're just going to be the fight flight, like maybe narcissist type, who's really oppositional and defiant and just really difficult personality. And there may be others who kind of get it after a while, and they get well and they integrate, and they no longer, it's kind of like you no longer love or hate them. You just get on with what's your truth for what you need to do for who you are. And you basically just kind of get out of that whole attention on them all the time, because they want, I think they want that attention, and that feeds their existence,
I've been saying
just.
for some time that as far as the aliens are concerned, it's not so much an alien issue, it's a human issue, because certain aliens have a long-term vested interest in particular human hybridized bloodlines. So, we're a significant part of that equation, but this need to give away one's power into some form of like cosmic collective, like a form of cosmic communism, it's like, oh, the Space Brothers. And if you'll notice, a lot of the conferences out there, right, which I wouldn't go anywhere near, just for matters of self-respect and integrity, you will still find hordes of these types of people that are just singing the praises of the Space Brothers. And you have other people, limited hangout types, broads that latched on to Reynolds from Forest, who tend to be big shots from the Ministry of Defense, et cetera, et cetera. It's the same cadre of fraudsters that are going through the circuit, like they've always gone through the circuit, the conference circuit. And I've said for some time that a lot of these conference promoters themselves are intelligence assets, because why aren't they going out and getting the hardcore investigators like Bob Brown used to do for the International UFO Congress? Instead, they keep getting these same Muppets over and over again, right?
Well,
So.
this is the question. I mean, kind of hammered this one home. When there is unrecovered trauma, and if there really is, trauma-based mind control, which we know in MK Ultra and many of the MyLabs and Secret Space Program, we have that fundamental, which is part of the training of these assets, depending on how they're utilized. But a lot of times they come from ritual abuse families or dynamics, which will create the same kind of splitting traumas early enough to then just go ahead and then have them uptaken by these agencies who want to use them because they're already pre-split. You got the pre-split, and then they might just come in for abductions, and then the abductions will carry out the rest of whatever they need to do. So this is where like the programming can be very, very deep, unless people do the trauma recovery and integrating altars if they know they have them, and connecting with your eternal spirit, which that can be hard if there's a lot of conflict and trauma still operating inside. So I think that happens, that the programs take over, and the propensity towards avoidance of the discomfort of the emotional conflicts that create the splits. So it's always like uncomfortable. So this is why I'm talking therapy stuff now. Pete Walker's complex trauma, or CPTSD, or complex post-traumatic stress disorder is something that is really a type of trauma which happens what we call pervasively in developmental stages, which means 0 to 6 years old, you're going to have so much trauma that you're going to have a personality structure that's overlaid as a survival strategy to be fight, flight, freeze, fawn, or any of like a hybrid between fight, flight, or fight, freeze, or it's usually not fight, freeze, but it's usually freeze, fawn, or flight, fawn, which is like the codependent type that enables predators or might be the more empathic one that they want to, sometimes they want to see so much good and want to create harmony and peace that they overlook the predators. And
Yes.
they may be in relationships where they're enabling a predator or a narcissist or a pedophile or an alcoholic or whatever. So these personality structures are actually like an overlay over our original self that had to survive, and that was a survival strategy. So it's also dissociative depending on how severe. So it can be like dissociative identity disorder or a full-blown personality disorder, but these things are uncomfortable to deal with. Whenever you get close to those things, it's so uncomfortable. People just want to deviate away from it and focus on the narrative that it's the bypass, right? So the bypass is the program, right?
So
So
their
that's what's
focus
happening.
shifts on instead of what's going on around them. And we see this with a lot of the Eastern traditions where they preach nothingness. Oh, just sit there in the lotus position, all the starvation and misery around you. That's just Maya. That's just an illusion. No, you're kind of stuck in that illusion for that time frame, right? And we see that sort of ascension seeking, not attention seeking, but that's a part of it too, but the ascension seeking that we see
Yes.
from a lot of the New Agers who
Yeah.
studiously avoided anything of a negative nature, who would ridicule you and belittle you. Completely at variance with the whole love and light message, right? Belittle one, someone else for being spiritually unevolved if they have legitimate concerns about alien abductions, about the reptilian overlordship. I have legitimate concerns about that, right? But
Yeah,
from their
the
perspective, where we're just fear-based, and yet when these rollouts started, some years back now, who were the first ones to go flocking to the treatment centers? It was these new age la-di-das, the same ones who castigated us for being fear-based. They bought into all the fear hype, and then they ran off, got these treatments so-called, and now they've got this alien operating system inside of them.
Yeah, it's interesting to see. I mean, this is where some of the work of just understanding how mind control and our spiritual will is affected through the more subtle alien manipulation tactics and whatever might be occurring with implants and, even external factors of frequency weaponry. But, why some people can they can stick to their intuition or what maybe what their spirit is like saying, and they can hear it, they can sense it, they just deviate away from that which is naturally dangerous. And so that's a good quality to build and inculcate by really being in touch with yourself. And so I think what happens is we're shamed into, oh, we're fear-based. Well, that's being too negative, or the see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil, and even some religions, and even in Christian religions like the classic Southern Baptists, where you just don't talk about negative things, and everybody just kind of moves around it with hypocritical. It's really annoying, but they do that in Buddhist communities. I've seen that in many different cultures where they just don't have, they can't be real into speaking about what they're really feeling, believing, and communication about that just doesn't happen. So if you can't communicate, you can't get well, you can't heal from trauma, and you won't see the predators, and then you're going to
Right.
fall into a trap. So that's probably one of the biggest learning, what do you call it, lessons of anyone who was the more codependent end, who was, the empath and They kept attracting narcissists, and they gave them the benefit of the doubt, and they wanted to forgive them. And well, they just can't help it. Let's just feel sorry for them, and they just take advantage of abusing, 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 stealing, 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 and slandering. And so what is our spirit telling us? Like our spirit would tell us, this person's dangerous. You need to see the truth. You need to get away from this person if you want to build your life back up and not be have your identity erased and all your energy vaporized and
And
your
theft,
history.
and yeah, be a battery essentially for the narcissistic person of whatever leash harvesting entities are working through that individual. And cycling back to the implants that we were all talking about, because it's all tied in. We've been around long enough. You've seen X-rays of and scans of implants in people, and so have I. That friend that we knew way back when, former law enforcement guy for many years, and he became a CIA paramilitary. You probably know the guy I'm talking about. I used to, go out and do research with him out in the deserts and other places. He lived in the Phoenix area. He showed
Oh,
me
yeah.
his X-ray, right? And he had his jollies with abductions and hybridized women, sent into his life too. And ironically, that hybridized woman was someone I had been in comms with for some time, who was being blasted by HARP or some other directed energy system and being tortured on a daily basis. Carol Sterling, I'll say her name now. She's since passed away. I mean, I think she committed suicide because of all the pain she was being subjected to.
I remember the
But
story. I still have the story that the man that who knew her is called Beware of Those of Gomorrah.
yeah,
And I
Gamora.
remember, yeah, and that was like, oh my God, because I
Yeah,
remember
because
I tried
well,
to give you somebody, and it was remember that scientist we were working with way back when with Daryl and Dr. Roger Lear, because this one worked with I guess he studied night blindness and in abductees and fluorescence and implants and some of the things. And so I thought he would I sent him that story and he just like blasted me. And I said, forget it. There's nothing real. It's just a story.
yeah.
But I remembered that story because I came across someone else who reported a woman, a type of hybrid, who had the similar thing that was talked about in that quote story, but also Carol Sterling, because she was a hybrid, but she was also an MK Ultra MyLab hybrid who was being utilized under mind control to do these things. But I had heard about this from someone else in a really bad love bite case. So I know these things are real.
Absolutely. And that had everything to do with reptilian human hybridization. But anyway, point being is that this guy, this former CIA paramilitary guy and, longtime cop, he'd showed me his X-rays, and I'd never seen so many implants inside of somebody. I mean, I counted like 12 or 13, right? And then also that other research, I'm not going to mention his name, but you remember him from back in the old days. He really, propagandized on behalf of the reptilians and what have you.
Oh,
Yeah.
him?
Yeah. Well, he showed me his X-ray, and he had a Tic Tac shaped implant at the base of his skull. And folks, those of you that are watching and maybe somewhat new to this is like, we're talking 90s stuff here. This is well before the year 2000, the kind of information we're carrying now. Okay. He had a Tic Tac shaped implant right at the base of his skull, exactly where our friends Carla Turner and Marianne, if you remember Marianne, where the research they did together about the implants. And Carla mentioned this in her book, Masquerade of Angels, and in her lectures, the last time that she went on the lecture circuit when we brought her to San Diego, if you remember. How the implant was being placed right there at the base of the skull, right atop the reticular activating system, which runs essentially the autonomous systems of the body, respiration, heart rate. It even affects, has the potential to affect how we perceive things, right? Because of it's being plugged right in that nerve bundle at the base of the skull. And it's important. Carla used to always say, Ken used to always say, we cannot take anything that we see and perceive and feel when we're essentially in alien custody, when we're being abducted. We cannot take it at face value, especially in light of that rollout. We became aware, Carla, Marianne, and others became aware of the rollout of that particular implant at the base of the skull. We started seeing that late 80s, early 90s. Okay? Started showing up in scans. And that was around the same time frame that the guy I mentioned, he showed me the scan. It was at the base of his skull. And, he was himself, born out of a CIA family, reptilian experiences, my lab experiences, the whole nine yards, right? So point being, folks, is what we're seeing with the mass rollout the last few years, they had to do that on someone or some demographic group first. And our belief, I'm satisfied, especially based on some of the Majestic papers that I've read, I have no reason to doubt their authenticity, that ready-made test subjects were all these alien abductees in my labs, thousands of them over the years, that had been utilized in these black, essentially pharmaceutical programs for many years. And they decided to do a mass rollout, probably based on some of the findings they had doing this stuff on us. And the implants are in strategic places throughout the body. You remember that little case that Daryl used to walk around with it to show the different implants, different shapes and sizes. And one of the findings was, you talked about it earlier, certain types of coverings, if you will, were put around the implant in order to prevent the body from rejecting these implants. And another point that needs to be emphasized is some of these abductees that were implanted, they were consciously aware or came up under regression where the implants were put in. They remember either consciously or under regression where they were put in. Scans were done, and sure enough, there were implants there. Right? A lot of us, myself included, had the BB shaped implant shoved up our left nostril up
Yeah, that was
behind. That was very common in the old days. In
we
the
get blood as kids, after
oh
they
yeah,
get you.
absolute nosebleed time. Right? And I was one of those kids. I was laying there, this would have been 74 time frame, San Jose, California. And just immobilized, laying in bed, and a very cold, long metal probe shoved up my nose all the way up. I heard, felt, and perceived a popping sensation, and my head seemed to explode. And then I blacked out. And then the following morning, there was blood all over my pillow, right? And I had a lot
Was
of
that like
nosebleeds back in those days.
the test they were doing? Like when I saw how they were doing the tests for before the virus or whatever, the China virus or whatever, and then when they test you with sticking that crap up your nose. I mean, if
Yes.
that didn't find you like what they're doing in alien implants, I mean, I
It's
think that, yeah, would
that's what I thought of. And they have, and they call it the test, they're using an acronym to describe vermin, a varmint, a rodent, right? Oh, here, have your rodent test, right? It just shows, point being, folks, is that what we've observed over the years, there's a definite alien tie-in to what we're seeing. So potentially you have all these people had previously been implanted, and now, and that was what made up one part of the population, mostly abductees and project people, alien abductees. But now, since the rollout, countless people have this nanocircuitry, graphene, what have you, swimming around in their bloodstream, what have you, coalescing, aggregating in certain parts of the body. Literal nanotechnology, literal, microcircuitry, just like MIT was working on in the 1940s, alien microcircuitry.
Yeah, and I'm wondering
That's a
if
lot of
that's
effort. It's a lot of effort to put in, just
because
to make up these ingredients.
To think of, what's happening that went back to the early implant materials and some of the ideas that Dr. Roger Lehr had and many others, where they think, okay, with these structures, especially the carbon nanotubules, it can emit radio waves, but it can also be radio and something else, possibly scalar, which would be a read and write type of communication system that could, control the consciousness or read the consciousness. So that's a consideration with some of the newer self-assembling ones, that if it's possible, can that happen, and how might it happen? And so this kind of goes into some of the things that Harold Coltzvella had mentioned about certain technologies, which are actually frequency-based technologies that can overwrite our consciousness in terms of what we're thinking, and then what might we want to act on based on the thought. So it's a read write system, but what I think is happening, it's like an editing system. So you know how they have this text edit that goes in your cell phone, and it really annoys you depending on the program, and then it just like makes up the sentence, and or what you'll say, it'll use a different word. So it's like it tries to create it before it happens. So I think they're doing like a thought editing type of write over after they read to make you think you're thinking the thought, and pretty soon you're on their program, which is the 70% that seem to be easily controlled that way, which this is what Harold Coltzvella said, and it was something that was done covertly since 2014. And then I already mentioned this before, but the ones who could not be controlled, who were the divergent ones, the outliers, then they would gang stalk them to
The
try to
maze runners.
Find out what's wrong, right? If you're the canary in the coal mine and you're not operating according to program, then what the hell, what's wrong with you? And then they, continue to target you or experiment or abduct or try to coerce to get you handled, And because if you are perceiving clearly and you can really connect with your spirit and with your heart, with truth, instead of a trauma reactivity and an overlay narrative, which protects you from the trauma. So that's where we really have to pay attention to trauma
Also,
recovery.
without naming names and being specific, there's a lot of these unhealed, non-integrated, emotionally unstable people who are passing themselves off as counselors, therapists in our field, and who are doing tremendous harm on people. People come to them for help or refer to them, and then, they just scramble the minds and the hearts of the people they work with.
Not
And
only that, but a handling system.
the
Like
handling
if
system.
people, if they're still being run by like the alien program or the MyLab program or whatever it is, or even demons, like demons working through a bloodline and they haven't cleared their ancestral shit, whatever it
Yes,
is,
it's an
and they're
overlay
getting,
upon overlay
yeah.
upon overlay. Yeah.
So they'll just run, even maybe initially you won't notice, but the long game, you're going to see it with the long game as the bad fruit on the tree. And so
Yes.
that's where we have to like observe over time, what's the effect, and how to be truly helpful, and not, just work on our stuff so that we don't misdirect or misperceive ourselves. But there's so much going on, and I think people are afraid. They're very afraid. I mean, they're living in a lot of fear. They don't want to address it. And I think that the alien, especially the alien abduction stuff, with people who've had, I think a lot of the more earlier ones, maybe the earlier generations, it could have been so traumatic. They just can't go there, and they're still operating on the bypass programming that is part of, I think, the program.
I would agree. Or they immerse themselves in aspects of UFO research that are essentially chicken feed, trivial, unimportant, more attention on getting a brand for themselves other than doing actual field work, investigations to get to the heart of this. But one thing I know about these wannabe whistleblowers that have surfaced over the years, right? They're not going to get to the bottom line, what we talk about. They're not going to talk about the reptilian overlordship. They're not going to talk about the mass alien implantation of people, the mass abductions of people, the human mutilations, the cattle mutilations, the mass disappearances of people over the centuries. Soldiers, large military formations disappearing as a result of alien technology. They're not going to go anywhere near there. So by definition, they will be a limited hangout. And another thing I'd like to talk about before the end of this first segment, and thank you so much for bringing this very timely information up, because people need to think about these things, and they need to know that there's a basis for what we're talking about. This rollout is just the latest en masse extension of something that we've observed for some time. But just in our circles, Pam Hamilton had an ocular implant in her left eye. That time when her and Bill Hamilton were out there at the black mailbox, I think it was, near Area 51, Bill was taken on board a flying saucer, examined by a tall gray. Pam was outside with near her car and near the saucer, and no, she wasn't near the saucer. Bill was taken on board a saucer. Pam was taken on board a van with these two OMAG types, as Leah Haley would have called them, noxious military and government scoundrels. OMAGs, I like that term, had a Doctor Whoish slant to it. And they hauled her into the van. The interior of the van was lined with all this computer equipment and high tech gear, and then they laid her down on a table, I think, and then they had to work on her left eye. They said there's something wrong with the implant in your left eye. We got to fix it, right? But she's not the only person I spoke to that had an ocular implant and different implants in different parts of the body. But just the potential, something flying around, just the potential that an ocular implant can provide, the capabilities it would provide for whoever installed it, right? The potential to see out of someone else's
Oh,
eyes
sure.
in real time. And then this is where the twain meets, because I had Jerry Marzisky on the show again recently. And we know that there is a spiritual, intelligent force behind the intrusive thought. And we
Yes.
know that some people, under some circumstances, if they're on meth or whatever the case may be, or they have that etheric third eye vision, they can see these shadow beings. They can see the beings, some of the beings at least, behind the intrusive thought. And we know that there's a spiritual component to the treatments, so-called, that have been rolled out. Bernard Günther had been in comms with the Germans in Germany that had been working on this specific aspect of it. And we've seen the videos of people spinning around, looking over their left shoulder, seeing something no one else can see, and just dropping dead, right, from the sheer horror of it all. So we know that there's a spiritual component to the treatments as well. So you have the intrusive thoughts and whatever forces are behind them. We know in the hosting phenomenon, when someone either is taken up completely as a host, or there's a partial attachment, we know that entities can insert thoughts. So the potential that these implants have, not just the old ones, the old day alien abductee MyLab implants to insert thoughts and to be able to access someone's perception system, their eyes and their ocular system, et cetera, but the ability for not only a voice to skull capability for humans tweaking the knobs, but also for entities to utilize this microcircuitry, this graphene technology, to further get their hooks into people, right? And what's of concern to me is the rapid rollout of the 5G, right? A lot of us that have cell phones, our phones aren't working as well anymore, because they've activated the 5G in our areas. So we're almost compelled to upgrade, at least get a newer, more recent model phone, in order to get the functionality we need to get out of the phone, right? These black kind of scrying devices that they got everyone addicted to, which itself, the whole digital device era, the cell phone era, that in itself is an outgrowth, I'm convinced, of the alien technology that had been recovered or obtained somehow over these last decades. That somehow they've been able to take that technology, microcircuitry, these cell phones we have that has more computing power than the code breaking machines they were using, in the 1940s and the 1950s, right? Well, at least We're not talking the crazy supercomputers that developed later, but point being is that everything around us is an outgrowth of this alien technology, not least of which the technology and the treatments so-called that are rolled out by the pharmaceutical industry. So your information here is absolutely critical. So please let our viewers and listeners know how they can find your work, Evie.
Well, my website, evelorgan.com, Alien Love Bite Telegram group, and my email, elorgan@gmail.com, and I have a website contact form. So that's the best you can for now. And then maybe in the second part, we can talk more about some fluorescence things, implant studies, and some of the Ted Rice things while it's still in my mind.
Yeah.
Just correlations I made just from looking at some of the old data. So,
Well, looking forward to that. And to our dear listeners out there, if you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment.